Let's bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Oh, Holy Father, we come to you today as humble as we know how. We ask for your blessings, and we wholeheartedly ask for your mercies each and every day of our lives. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith has always been a trait of God's people from the very beginning of time. But a question that sometimes comes to mind is whether or not our faith is unfounded. Is it something that we really, really need to have? See, over the last couple of weeks, we've read about the miracles of our Lord and Savior Jesus, when he healed the sick, provided food for the masses, which he'll do again when I come back in a couple of weeks, and battled the forces of the devil. All of this as he is making his way to that dreaded place known as Calvary. God loves us, and he wants us to know that we can always, always count on him to take care of us in our time of need. The only thing that we have to do is humble ourselves and ask for his help. Today is the second Sunday of Lent, and just like the last time that I was here, we're again brought to a time and a place where the subject of faith is right here in the forefront of the gospel. In today's gospel, we're told a story about a Canaanite woman who sees Jesus walking into her city. She runs to him, crying about her daughter, who's possessed by a demon. Now, the phrase that's used in the scripture is, of the King James version of the scripture, is that she's grievously vexed with a devil. Now, when you listen to the language of the King James version, it just doesn't sound actually as bad as the situation is. The proper language just kind of seems like it's a more laid back sort of situation, like she has a cold, you know, but we know better. We know things are bad. Anyway, we're in a time when the Gentiles, those are the people that are non-Jews, are still separated from, let's just say, the alleged love of God. Up until this point in time, Jesus had sent his disciples out with the following instructions, what we're told in Matthew chapter 10, which says, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And that's making a reference to the sheep being the Jews. The message of salvation for everyone who takes Jesus as their Savior hadn't been put in place yet, but we will hear about it down the line in the books of Acts when the Spirit, or better yet, let me phrase it right, the Holy Spirit fills them and they're able to understand and speak to the Gentiles. See, we have to understand that once you have faith, you're considered one of God's children and worthy of all of his blessings. This you give by humbling yourself, by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, with him being the key and the door to the gateway. At the time of this gospel lessons, the Gentiles, like I said, hadn't accepted or hadn't been accepted yet as God's children. They will eventually, but not at this time. It just wasn't an expectation of the Gentiles to have faith in a God that they didn't believe in, especially one that they didn't know anything about because they weren't taught about him. But like the centurion who had asked Jesus to heal his sick servant in Matthew chapter 8, this Gentile, this Canaanite woman, her faith was just as strong as his. Jesus was surprised by the centurion faith, and he offered to go to the centurion's house in order to heal his servant. But the centurion said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shalt come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Now, this is a true declaration of faith. The person basically said, "I believe in you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, that you are the one true Son of God, and that you can do anything, anywhere, anytime. All you have to do is just say it, and it'll be done, because through my faith in you, all things are possible." The disciple went to Jesus and they suggested that he sent her away. She's drawing too much attention. And they didn't want that. They knew that there were people who didn't like Jesus because of the message that he had brought, the message that he was teaching everyone on his path. A better word instead of like was that some of the people felt a hatred for Jesus because his message of love didn't jive with their whole agenda. It didn't work in the overall picture of power that they were still trying to maintain. Now, don't get me wrong, though, because Jesus did try to send her away. And he said that he was only there for the Jews. It wasn't a lie because Jesus didn't lie. He didn't have a need to lie. But like I said earlier, it was just wasn't the Gentiles' time yet. But that woman, that Canaanite woman, wouldn't take no for an answer, and she kept begging him to help her daughter. Today, right here and now, we might consider that woman to be annoying, to be rude, to be tiresome, to be really dragging on our nerves if she kept going at us. You know, like the people who call you on the phone, the telemarketers, or the people who come to your door as they try to get donations. And they won't take no for an answer. They keep pressing you. But I want you to know for the record, as told to us in scripture, that ancient judges, they were sometimes portrayed as being corrupt, being so greedy that if you were poor, if you were desperate, if you were really determined, that would be the only way that you can get the justice you needed. We are told this in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 2 through 5, which says, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, nor there regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, 'Avenge me of mine adversary.' and he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. Now, you might have heard a similar phrase present day called, that goes something along the line as, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Sometimes that's what's needed in order to get what you really need. It seems that it was common in the Bible, such as in the Old Testament, in Genesis 18, where Abraham was haggling with God about how many good people it would take for God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, he asked God, how many would it take? If I found 50, would you spare the city? And God said, I would. Then he worked down, if I found 5 less, would that work? Would you still save the city? And God said, okay, if I find 45, as I look through the city, I will save the city. He worked his way down to 5. And he said, if you find 5, would you save the city? And we know God was tired. He said, let me just make this guy go away. If I find 5 people, I will save the city. We know that didn't work, but still. And in the New Testament, in the book of John, chapter 2, y'all might remember the wedding of Cana, where they ran out of wine. Jesus and Mary were attending the wedding, and she kept at him, and she kept at him until he said, bring me 6, I think it was 6 jars of water, and he made it into wine, but not only wine, the best wine. Now, those are just 2 examples that show the bravery of people. When they refuse to take no for an answer, when they have a need. When we recognize that we have nowhere else to turn to, then only by clinging to that one person, the only authority who can answer us and grant us our needs, that is considered an act of faith. Although Jesus tried to gently persuade her, to reject her, by saying that the children must be fed first, like I said, the children being the Jews, It does let us know that at some point down the line, we don't know how far, but at some point down the line, the Gentiles will be taken care of. I mean, we do in the book of Acts, but at that time, it gave you the impression that it would occur at some point. Now, for those of y'all that have children, or loved ones, the woman's love for her daughter was the most important thing in her life. And leaving Jesus behind, the only one who could solve the problem, was not something that had even crossed her mind, nor would she even let it enter her mind. Jesus doesn't ignore the woman, and he doesn't walk off, but he kept putting her off. Now, it's possible that he might have been testing her, or maybe he was trying to get her to understand that his true mission at that time was just for the Jews. Now, I can't say for sure, but I'm hoping that it was the former, that he was testing her to see if she didn't have what's called fake faith. Oh, let me ask you for something now because you're here, but not because I really believe in you. See, in the beginning, when the Canaanite woman saw Jesus coming, she referred to him as the son of David, which is a messianic term. It tells us that she knew something about the promise of God to send the Savior, to send the Messiah, to help everyone. She addressed Jesus as that Messiah. She saw Jesus as the only hope for her daughter, and she refused to leave. She refused to turn away, no matter how much she was prodded to leave. And if one of our own is sick, like I said, and the only cure that is there, would you walk away from that place and just give up? Because I know that I wouldn't if any one of mine were sick. She refused to believe that Jesus' mission is for the Jews only, and that her status as a Canaanite was on the level of a dog waiting for the crumbs to fall off the table. She believed that Jesus was there for the Jews as well as the Gentiles, and that in the eyes of God, we are all his children. Jesus responded to her display of faith and said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And what happened? Her daughter was healed. Her daughter was made whole that very hour. My brothers and sisters, how would you feel if those same words were said to you? That our faith is what's needed to get the job done. I know that one day I want to hear God say to me when I stand before his judgment seat, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Matthew 25:23. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.